What's the 411? You tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and this hour my panelists are all students from Sale High School. I'm always glad to have them, and I welcome Connor Muck. She's 11th grade, into reading, baking, and watching movies.
Hello.
Reed Worrell, 11th, reading, drawing, and playing video games is his thing.
It's good to be back.
Ayanna Brantley, into cosmetology, reading, and she's in the 11th grade.
Hello.
Tyler Patterson is in, he's a senior, and he enjoys hiking, kayaking, laughing. Okay. and Kyle Reynolds, he is into automotive repairs and military, the Army in particular. He's also a senior.
Hello, everyone.
Well, I welcome you all to 411 Teen. Since 2000, it is estimated that 850,000 unauthorized immigrants have entered the United States each year. There are currently 11 million illegal immigrants in the U.S., mostly from Mexico and other Latin American countries, but also from Asia and Africa, Europe and Canada. There's general agreement that America's immigration system needs fixing, but that's where the consensus ends. How do you feel about the immigration issue today? And why? And Reed, I'm looking right at you, mm-hmm. So you're in the hot seat. So what's your response to that? When you think about all we hear about this immigration, how do you feel about it? What's your feel?
I mean, I don't know, since I don't know too much. I'm not an mm-hmm. immigration expert or anything.
No.
But I do think we need to do something, that's for sure. But it's understandable for some people that are coming from countries where they're living in poorer conditions, and they're trying to come to America so they can find a job and have a better situation for their family and for their kids, and mm-hmm. so they can have a better quality of life.
So you understand from that perspective?
Yeah.
Okay. Tyler?
I would actually agree with you. So I think that people coming from Latin America or from Israel or...
Or wherever. Huh?
Yeah, or wherever. They are here to create a better life mm-hmm. And for themselves and those who they love.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm pretty much with Reed and Tyler on this one. I don't really know a whole lot about it, but I'm mm-hmm. of the opinion... All of our families, well, most of our families, started as immigrants. Why shouldn't we let other people come and create lives here?
Okay, and you, all three of you have raised some issues that we're going to come back to. Yes, ma'am.
I feel the same way, pardon me, but then again, there should be a limit because we don't want it to get overcrowded and just like anyone who wants to come in, because then eventually it would get overcrowded and then we have other issues to deal mm-hmm. with. But if people are trying to come here and create a better life and live the American dream, then we should.
Okay. Kyle?
I feel it should be addressed and basically just limit the amount of people that we can take. I mean, some families live that are immigrants and they should have the right to be in our system or United States.
Okay. The interesting thing, all of you have said that you agree. You know, that folks have the right to come and try to have a better life. What about the political asylum component? You know, you can become a citizen if you are seeking political asylum. You've been, mm-hmm. you know, and so you didn't touch on that at all. So how do you feel about that?
I definitely think it's important that people are allowed to go to countries and seek refuge from political issues that are going on. Like right now in the Middle East, isn't there the Syrian refugee mm-hmm, crisis mm-hmm, going on mm-hmm. because of ISIS and everything that's going on there? And it's terrible to live there, and they're just heading in masses and tons, and they're trying to go find somewhere else to live. And I believe I saw that they started putting some people in, like, camps in very poor conditions because they don't want to take them or they can't take them all in.
Yeah, that is indeed a condition. Currently, the U.S. grants citizenship automatically to every person born on our soil, including children of legal non-citizens, tourists, illegal immigrants. If you're born on the soil, then you have American citizenship. Children of foreign diplomats are the exception, okay? What do you think of this policy?
I think it's a good one. That because you're born here, you – like some people come here, parents who are pregnant or they just want to have their – afford their kids a better life than what's waiting for them in their country. So they come here and they make sure they have their child born here so they have an opportunity to have a better lifestyle. And it's good that I think we afford such an easier way to become a citizen. And it's like – I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
Well, we'll come right back to you. Let me hear from someone else. Yeah, Tyler.
So I'd like to bring up another side to this.
Oh, sure.
So it seems that those who are born here, they're automatically, oh, you're a citizen. Okay. But those who try to are not born here in the U.S. and come. They have to know all this stuff about our history and about
to pass. Yeah. I know the citizen.
I don't agree with that part of it because I don't know.
And what about somebody that might be just a tourist? You know.
Yeah.
And the baby happens to be born here, and they're going back to Sweden or wherever they came from. Yeah. So now that child has a dual – how is that handled? That child has a dual citizenship just because they were born here?
Mm-hmm. I mean it doesn't really make sense because, like, say you're vacationioning from Timbuktu or – wait, is Timbuktu in the U.S.?
No.
Okay. No, I'm just tired. Okay. So say you're vacationing for, like, Timbuktu and you pop and you have a baby and it's like, your baby's an American citizen. Does that mean does that mean your baby is not a legal citizen when you go back to Timbuktu? Or that's just a question I've always had whenever I think about that. But – and when it comes to the – it's easy – it's an easy way. Sure, it's easy if you're born here, but you don't really have any control over being born.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who want to get into the U.S. have their children here so they can get, like, their foot in the door, so to say. So they have a child who can keep them there so they can try and
– or who they hope can keep them there.
Who they hope they can keep them there so they can start getting a citizenship there. And I, like Tyler was saying, they don't know anything. Well, I think the thing is, it's just that, like, when you're born here and you become a citizen here, then you have your whole rest of your life until you become an adult to learn about American history while you're in school. Okay. And then
And then it is the Constitution, what is it, the 14th Amendment that says citizenship should be granted to all persons born are naturalized in the United States, and therefore they're subject to jurisdiction. So do we think this is fine? Do we think we need to ratify it? Because that's what I think the 14th Amendment is saying. What do you think, Cal?
I feel basically that everyone should have the right to be in the United States, even if they're, depends on basically if they're, just depends.
Mm-hmm. On a number of circumstances, what I hear you kind of say. Yeah. Other comments?
I feel like the naturalization, like, we should have something like that for people so it's not just, like, anyone can come in for no reason. Like, you should be able to speak English to a certain degree. Like, you can interact with people or ask where the bathroom is and stuff like that. But I feel like the process is pretty hard. Some people, like, try to do it the right way, but then it takes years and years and years to do it. And then a lot of people try to do it the wrong way and, like, try to marry someone to get a game, their U.S. citizenship. And it's just – I think that it should be easier.
Okay. President Obama issued a controversial executive order that temporarily shielded about 5 million people from deportation, and it allows them to work in the U.S. It created a firestorm in Washington, and folks were saying, particularly, of course, Republicans were saying that the president had abused his authority and that by law, only Congress has power to pass laws. But then when you look at Article 2, it says that the president shall, quote, take care that the laws are faithfully executed. So that was the way that he, you know, issued the order. Mm-hmm. One of the concerns is that the executive order did not include a path to citizenship. Okay? What do you think about that? Do you think this order, you know, should, because what it says is, yes, you can stay here, you can work, but you don't have the option.
You don't,
right.
Yeah. So you just have to stay here and work, but not as an American citizen, so you can't vote or do anything.
That's
right.
And then what if you lose your job? You get sent back to your
country. Yeah, that's what I'm asking. So how do you feel about that?
I think you should have included something about citizenship in there.
Well, okay. So you think,
if you're going to be staying in our country,
you can work legally,
you should, like, get a say in things. And, like, you have to be a citizen to vote. And obviously people who are working or have an interest in voting, at least I hope you do, because a lot of those laws that those people will make have to do with your career.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and just your living, your existence in that country.
So if you're going to be here and if you're going to work here and if you get to stay here, you should be able to become a citizen.
Okay. Others, where do you all, do you think, agree with Connor or disagree? Or?
I think the law should have definitely gone in more in depth on their citizenship and not just them working, because if they lose their job, they're not going to be citizens. And a lot of people don't want to hire people who come over here in general. Like, people have things against it. I remember seeing something on What Would You Do, where this one guy, the boss refused to pay him because he was an immigrant. And not many people stood up for him at all. Most people were like, well, you shouldn't. He's an immigrant. He doesn't have any rights. So citizenship should be something that is granted to people who come over here.
Okay, you raised some good issues, and we'll get back to you on that. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, talking with Sale High School students looking at immigration. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen is examining immigration, the issue of immigration today. And I have students from Sale, and we're kind of looking at this, seeing what can be done, what's your position. Are we being hypocritical when we're saying workers can come and they can pick our fruit and they can, you know, pick our vegetables, but they never can become citizens? That's what we were kind of talking about before we went on break. Sure. Reed.
That's like almost the equivalent of being a slave. Yeah. Except you're getting paid and you get money and you get to work here, but you have no control and say over your future, your life here, because you can't vote or anything like that.
Okay, yeah, I'll get to all of you. Go on.
And plus, there's no guarantee that you will even get minimum wage, because they could just, like, give you a tiny bit of money because you're not protected under the law at all. You can't say anything because they're like, well, you're not a citizen. I can just get you deported back where you came from.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'll get to both of you. All of you. Yeah, Connor.
It's like, to me, it's the same concept as if you tell someone, you can go through 13 years of school, but you can't get your high school diploma afterwards. It's just, you can do all this work, but you won't get your prize for it.
Right, right.
So that doesn't seem very fair.
Yeah. And I think, like, if you work here and you live here, and I say live, in that you have a house, you live here, but you don't have the same rights as all of us do. And I think that we should give some rights or all rights in mm-hmm. a certain amount, but we shouldn't give them all the right. Okay. And I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I follow you. Okay. What about you, Kyle? What do you think?
I feel basically that everyone should have the right, even though it just depends to a certain extent. If they have a certain right, I mean, they should have a certain right to have minimum wage and the right to work and all of those.
Okay. Now, when we start talking, and we touched on this, we were talking about birthright citizenship. Mm-hmm. Should we end this long-time practice of granting citizenship to children who are born of illegal immigrants? Okay? So their parents are here. They're born here. So now we give them citizenship. But what, and the reason I'm asking this, because it has the potential for splitting up the family. You know, if we go to, yeah, so should we end it? Or what should we do? Are our policies degrading the legitimacy of the immigration system? Yes, Connor, go right ahead.
Well, I don't think that kids of illegal immigrants that are born here should be denied their citizenship, because if their parents came here illegally, they probably plan to stay as long as they can, right? So the kid should be a citizen if they're going to grow up in the U.S. And, well, when it comes to splitting the families, can we not split the families? Yeah. What's going to happen to that kid?
Well, that's been a big issue. Yeah. That is, I'll get to you in one second. But I mean, that has really been a very big issue where you have family members, parents who may be here illegally, yet their children are legal. They were born here. But how do we solve that? Pardon me. What do we do?
Well, it sounds.
What rights do they have?
Well, it sounds kind of like, can't we do something like, If you're an illegal immigrant, but you marry a legal U.S. citizen, you can stay in the country,
but
right?
But these may be parents who are married. Both of them are illegal.
Oh, no.
They're children. Okay,
well,
okay, I just want you to think about it, though.
Yeah.
Both of the parents are here illegally. I'll get you.
No, but what I meant was maybe it could be like kind of the same policy. Like, if you marry someone from here, you can stay. So if your child is a citizen here, can the parents stay?
Yeah. I mean, that's an option that could be explored. But I'm just saying that is one of the big issues with that. We split up families, so we send the parents back, and the parents may have been here 25 years. I mean, that's what you're finding. You're finding these situations where parents have lived and worked and paid their dues, paid taxes and everything else, yet they're illegal, and their children, and if we start tightening up on this and finding out, I know you had something you wanted to say, Tyler.
I think that if you in the U.S., if you're here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and you give birth,
okay.
I think that should give rights to the parent as well so the family doesn't split up.
Well, not automatically give them rights.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think, Aya?
I think that it should be easier. Like, there should be a different kind of rules. Like, maybe it would be, like, a shorter process to give the naturalization. I don't think you should just give it to them, because then everyone will just be coming and just having babies. Like, people already do that, like anger babies, people do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's necessarily right to do that. But the naturalization process is very hard and a long process.
Yeah, very arduous.
Yes.
It is. Yeah. Why do you think immigration is such a hot topic?
Because, well, for one thing, people in America have such a problem with people who are different from them.
Okay.
To begin with, just because of people who are different, you can be a little afraid of the unknown. And also just because of, I don't know, the repercussions. You're coming here illegally and you're working, but you're not, I, I, it's,
them darn Mexicans taking our jobs.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's what they say. That's exactly what they say. In addition, Americans have a long history of, how shall I say, wariness to newcomers. Some say they're taking our jobs, just what you mentioned, Connor. Yet others argue that the jobs that they do are jobs that Americans don't want to do anyway. I mean, they're cleaning homes and working on farms and picking vegetables and fruit, and those are hard jobs.
Yeah,
and okay? You're not wrong.
That's the worst thing about coming here as an illegal immigrant. You you get stuck in a low-level job that nobody wants to do, and you're basically stuck there. You can't rise up out of that position. You can't get yourself anywhere from there because of how things are set up for you.
Your main hope is that kid.
Yeah, your hope is for your kid, giving your kid a better future.
Mm-hmm. So what is it? I mean, they really aren't taking jobs. They say they aren't taking jobs because they're doing jobs that Americans typically don't want to do anyway.
Well, could just be that a lot of Americans are hypocrites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
That's a good point.
Unless you're Native American, you're technically an immigrant.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it says something about our country that people are willing to leave their families and risk everything to come to America. I mean, would you agree? However, no one may be served by an immigration system that allows large numbers of people to sneak across the border illegally. That's a big issue. Where do they go from here? What are the variables that we have to take into consideration when considering immigration policies? What kinds of things do we really need to consider?
Well, let's not build a giant wall between us and Mexico.
Why not? Doesn't that sound like a great... And have Mexico pay for it. Mexico will pay for it.
Yeah,
we'll build this giant wall, and that'll just solve everything.
My father gave me a small loan of $1 million. No, you
shouldn't do that. Comments. I mean, what do we do? I mean, that's really the big issue. Sure, Tyler.
I don't think we should do it because... What are we going to use to pay for the wall? Taxes.
No, Mexico's going to pay for it.
No, I'm just saying, okay.
No. We can get a small loan from our father.
Okay. It makes everything better. Okay.
So that takes away from our taxes, which takes away from basically being able to have roads,
schools.
Bridges, have schools, have sidewalks, have homeless shelters.
And it's really not going to do much for our foreign relations if we're literally building walls between ourselves and others.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to have good relations.
We're looking at it, you know, from a rather jovial point of view.
But
this is an intense debate. It's very, very intense. Mm-hmm. And why is this debate so intense? Kyle, what do you think? I mean, because it's hot topic, okay? It really is, okay?
I feel basically that it should we shouldn't, I mean, it depends on the condition. If we have to build a wall, we should, or, yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, it's like racial stereotyping because they're keep the riffraff out, being afraid of people who are different. And it's because Donald Trump is a millionaire or a billionaire. And it's, who knows how much money he has. He's one of those people who are higher up and they're making decisions about people who are living in the lower classes without knowing how their decisions will truly affect them because you're separated so much the way you live
different world
from the rest of us.
They've never lived in a situation like ours where it's like sometimes we're not sure if our paychecks will make it till the end of the month or if you're like like I'm the type of person who when I see change on the ground, I will pick it up because, hey, free quarter.
Why walk by it? Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
And it's just these people who can spend $50 on a pair of jeans, and to me that's like a personal insult because I shop at Goodwill.
But is tightening the border, and we hear this very often, increasing the security, is that, now let's really look at it seriously. Do we think that that is the way to go?
I mean, oh, as of now, we're not really overpopulated, and I think we may actually have room to let some people in. But if it became a really big problem, we were having way too many people trying to immigrate here, then maybe. But I don't think at this point we really need to consider that.
I mean,
okay,
I'm a violence is never truly the answer kind of person. And mm-hmm. I don't think that such a forceful approach would help very much. Maybe a better approach would be, I don't know, diplomacy with the countries these people are trying to leave. And maybe those countries themselves could help us. I don't know. But I don't think building a wall with, like, guard dogs and angry men with sticks is going to help a whole lot.
Okay. Kyle. All
right. I feel basically right now we shouldn't – I mean, just depends on condition and stuff and what the, people think. And I feel that we really shouldn't build a wall right now. But if it gets really overpopulated and there's too much of a population, we should. Okay. But if we – yeah.
Okay.
I want to bring up 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
What about if you get here from the air? There's
Like pelicans?
Yeah, there's a thing called airplanes.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think, yeah. Well, there's a lot of trouble that you've got to go through to get on a plane.
Yeah. And then when you get off, you got to go through customs because you're coming from a foreign country.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that I see as even being more problematic.
Yeah, there's instances of people hiding in luggage areas on planes and dying.
I mean, this happened very often.
Yeah. But
there's a ton of laundry.
Go ahead. And so another thing I'm wondering, and I'm not saying this is the thing we should do, but what if we create you can only have one child. And I think, is it Japan or China?
China. Although they recently changed.
Yes, that.
They recently can have two.
But I wonder if, I don't know if we should do that to cut down on the population, which then allows people who want to immigrate. Or do immigrate? Well, not.
What about the people that are here, though?
I'm just going to say that's not a realistic option at all. Okay. Americans would never go for that.
No,
too much government control in their lives. Never go for it.
And that's
they'd throw over the White House or something.
Well, you know, another interesting aspect of this whole immigration issue is that a research study that was looking at immigration found that opinions on immigration were age-specific. Hmm. In other words, those individuals who were under the age of 35 were less concerned about immigration than those who were over. Okay. And I wanted to have you all respond to that. You know, what do you think is going on and why is that? It's very interesting because we find that the younger population, not just with immigration, with gender issues, with all that kind of stuff, that your attitudes are not the same, not that we would expect them to be, as those older. So let's explore that for a while. I mean, what is it?
Well, new generation. Every time new people are born and they have different ideas of what the last one thought, they think that the people who came before them, they were wrong and this is the new correct way because they've grown up in different situations where it's been more acceptable. Or just that, like, for older people, just because they've been through more and they've seen more political problems and uprisings with foreign countries, so they might have more.
So you're just saying, though, it depends on your exposure and your experience and the interaction that you have. I'm going to go around the table with everyone because I want to hear your opinions. Connor.
I feel like a big part of it, at least for the younger generation, is communication. Because older people typically don't have much experience with people outside of America, but kids nowadays can talk to people all over the world through the internet. Like, good I have point. Friends all over the world through yeah. the internet. So I like to think I'm very open-minded to that sort of thing, because I, like, will hear my friends who live in other countries mm-hmm. talk about stuff going on. And it's just, I can sympathize with them. I'm not a xenophobic person at all. It's like, you're cool. You're cool. I don't care where you're from. As long as you're a cool person, you're cool. So a lot of younger people are exposed to outside things a lot more. So I think that, like, limits the fear, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Do you find, just in general now, not just about immigration, that you may be sitting in a different position from your parents when we talk about hot
yes,
topic issues?
A lot.
Okay, Ayana. Yeah. Okay, go right ahead.
My mom is, like, she's not super open-minded, but she's, like, a lot more open-minded. My dad, mm-hmm. we have totally different views on immigration, on gay marriage, oh. like, on everything. And we'll just debate about it forever. And I think one of the main reasons why there's such a divide, I think, is mainly to do with, like, the technology and stuff, because
that goes back, like, to what Connor was saying.
Yeah, it does. And because we can go on the internet and see, oh, gay pride, okay, I think I feel more comfortable coming out of the closet, and then there's going to be more people. So then the people who, like, we're just exposed to it a whole lot more, and they're, like, older people aren't as exposed to it, and they're, since it's different, they kind of don't know how to react to it, so they automatically don't like it because they don't know what to do, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can hold your thoughts and think about it, because my question was, do you find your relationship with your parents and your opinions about different hot topic issues, how do you resolve those? How do you find where you sit compared to where they sit? Hold your thoughts. We're going to take a break. But that's what, you know, that's something you might kind of muddle around with. You tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. The program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I have students from Sale High School. Joining me this hour, I have Kyle Reynolds, Tyler Patterson, Ayana Brantley, Reed Worrell, and Connor Mack. Before we went on break, we were just talking about how your opinions on various hot topic issues compare with your parents, okay?
Oh, this is not my parent, but okay. We were just talking about a couple seconds ago about an adult that we all know yeah. who she talks about how, because she's a lot older than us, it's hard for her to deal with the younger generation with us nowadays, because it's almost like we're completely different people with completely
really?
Different yeah. ideas yeah. and views.
But different doesn't mean that you can't and I'm just... Mm-hmm. Throwing that
oh,
away.
Yeah, different isn't bad.
It's not bad.
Man, I always find it very interesting to hear your opinions and to hear mm-hmm. where you're coming from. And lots of times, I tend to agree. You know?
I think it's just that when you're raised a certain way and you have right. different ideals, mm-hmm. that it's hard to accept that something that you've believed in for so long is not the correct way. Like, We would think of, like, not allowing gay marriage as such a terrible thing.
Our interracial marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. you know, that was miscegenation. No, that was – there were laws against that.
When people know? Got mad about that Cheerio commercial that had the mixed couple.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And that's like today. That. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's an excellent example of what I'm talking about, you know, because mm-hmm. somebody is different. Does that mean they are unacceptable? Talking about xenophobia. Yes, Tyler.
I think a big part of this is education. Mm-hmm. People don't get educated about, okay, two men are getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's how we would react. Okay. But the older generation would be like, oh, no.
Right. No, you're right.
The older generation, because it goes back to Christianity, which basically controls a lot of views.
Yeah.
And people still think that being gay is a choice, but it's scientifically proven that it's not a choice. You actually are born that way, Lady Gaga.
It's been like, it's been like proven that that like your sexuality, when different people with different sexualities will like have different parts of their brain be bigger than the other.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, well, it's just gone back to because religion was such a huge, huge part of people's lives.
Mm-hmm. And nowadays, it's kind of dying.
It controlled how you lived.
It certainly isn't as significant as it used to be. There was a study that just came out that was talking about how the significance of religion is slowly decreasing, particularly among the younger population.
And I think a part of that is because we have computers and iPads and iPods and iPhones.
So you're talking about exposure.
Yeah, exposure. Mm-hmm. And we can look up the answer to how many eyes does a fish have in a matter of 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have that information in our hands, in our pockets, on our computer screens. And so I think that's also a part of that people need to be educated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think part of that is, like, a lot of, like you say, a lot of kids' opinions tend to differ from the older population.
Right.
And the older population use a religion as a method to back up their reasoning. And it kind of creates this resentment towards religion. Because, like, I know in LGBT meetings at school, there will always be kids saying, my family is very Christian, so I don't feel comfortable coming out to them, and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that illegal immigrants can make a positive contribution to society?
Definitely.
Yes.
They're people.
I do.
Anybody
they
can be a positive.
One of the complaints is that they can't. Sorry.
I think they can definitely bring positive ways to impact our society, but there can also be negative impacts to society. Not necessarily ours, but I was reading online about how Muslim people who were immigrating to Europe because they were going there.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a lot of Middle Eastern countries, women are not treated well. To be a woman is not a good position to be in. And how sometimes that culture was a little bit transferring over there. And people who were native to that country, they were being treated terribly by the immigrants and stuff like that. But they can bring all sorts of but there are positive impacts to people from other countries coming to our country or to any country with their new ideas, new ways of living, and things that we've never heard of or thought of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was my turn.
I completely forgot what I was going to say.
Well, I'll come back to you because I'm sure the thought will come back.
Yes, I will.
In effect, there are two broad approaches to dealing with illegal immigration. The first is to get tough. The get tough approach that's embodied by a bill passed by the House of Representatives. It would authorize the construction, we talked about this, of a fence along the Mexican border and institute a crackdown on businesses that hire illegal immigrants and make it a federal crime to live in this country illegally, okay? Turning the illegal immigrants to felons, ineligible to win any legal status. For example, if you give an illegal immigrant a ride, you could be committing a crime. Should illegal immigration be a criminal offense? I'll just start and go around because I know you all have opinions. You want to start? Okay, cop.
I feel basically everyone should have the same rights, and they should have the right to stay. It shouldn't be deported.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically just have the rights like everyone else.
Okay. Reed.
Can you come
be
back
a crema? Oh, sure. I most certainly can.
Okay.
Should it be a criminal offense?
Okay. My thing is, if you make them a felon, you're either going to dump them in prison or you're going to deport them. If they're in prison, they're still here. You still haven't solved your problem.
And
you're just overloading the prison system even more. So you're really not helping anybody in this situation if you do that.
But, you know, it seems like to me, and this is just a sidebar, we talk about, for example, this is another conversation, but we talk about health care and how we don't like dealing with Obamacare and blah, blah, blah. Fine. The bottom line is we're paying for people who don't have insurance anyway.
They use
the emergency room as their, you know, physician. So they go to the emergency room. It costs two or three times more, and who pays for it?
Taxpayers.
So what's I just fail to understand that reasoning because so if you don't agree with this particular policy or approach, you're still paying for it. And I'm just throwing that out there. We don't have to explore that. But it's the same kind of thing when you talk about making illegal immigrants felons. So if you make them felons, and like you were saying, Connor, and you put them in jail,
they're still in America, and now they're just costing you more money. Yeah.
and we're paying for them to sleep and sit around and eat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the point of that?
I mean, it's not just that.
If they're in jail for 20 years, that's the equivalent of flying them home, pretty much. So
I think it's cheaper
to fly them home. Well, I'm just,
Another question that always comes up. Do you feel that all Americans must speak English? That's an ongoing issue. There are parts of America that you can go to where
English is not the major language.
Okay.
And in some places in like southern Florida or in Texas.
Or even in New York.
Yeah. The majority is now the minority in those places. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that? I mean, you know, this is an English-speaking country. We don't go to France and expect to be able to speak English with everyone. Mm-hmm. I'm throwing that out there just to hear, you know,
I'm of the opinion that I'm not saying you necessarily need to know English fluently when you come to our country, but I say over time you should make an effort to learn it. Like, there's people who've lived here 20 or 30 years that can't speak a lick of English, and it's like, that's ridiculous. You should have at least picked up a little bit just from being around it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they cater, but we should also think about them, because, like, in a lot of our countries, English is part of their public school curriculum, so most students are able to speak at least a little bit. Okay. So here, and so we're catered to when we go other places, because you'll always be able to find probably at least one person who has a working knowledge of English. But here, not a whole lot of people have a working knowledge of, say, Spanish or French or any of those other languages. So I think we should keep in mind, it shouldn't necessarily be a requirement, but you should make an effort to learn the language of the place where you'll be living.
Okay.
I can see, I'm not 100% sure if it should be a requirement, but I can see where people are coming from. I think it's mainly because, they're speaking a different language from me. I feel threatened. Like, what if they're talking about me? I think that's part of where it comes from. But I do think people should learn a certain amount of it. Like, you shouldn't not know what is happening at all. You should know how to say hello and, like, go to the bathroom, like, ask important questions.
Like,
and you should make
an
effort.
Yeah.
I can say that much in Spanish from high school Spanish, so.
Well, I think I've seen stuff where they're saying in however many years, the majority of the people in the U.S. will not be speaking English as their main language, but they'll be speaking Spanish.
The majority of the people in the U.S. will not be white, you know?
Yeah.
So that's an ongoing issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some pundits have said that African Americans are particularly affected by illegal immigrants because they vie for the same job. What role does racial attitude and prejudice play in the immigration policy? I mean, today, many immigrants are largely from Hispanic, like we were talking about. For example, let me just share the statistics with you. The states that have the most undocumented immigrants, California, 2.5 million, Texas, 1.7 million, and then it goes on down. Florida, New York, New Jersey. Okay, those are states that have the most undocumented immigrants. How do you feel about this? I mean, what role does racial attitude and prejudice play in the immigration policy? That's what I'm asking you.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a negative. I was waiting for somebody else to talk, but I just started. Okay. There's a overall negative outlook on people who are immigrants coming to this country because they're not like us. They're mm-hmm. different. And there's tons of stuff going on with people who are immigrants and, like, police brutality and all sorts of other issues where they're just being treated as lesser human beings for not being the exact same as us.
All right. I want to hear everyone's opinion on this as far as the impact that the racial attitude or prejudice may play in the whole immigration policy. Kyle, I'll come to you.
Some Hispanics are, yeah. Basically, they get bullied because of their race, and if they go to a school that is mainly all white or mm-hmm. some mixed,
mm-hmm.
some of them get bullied because of their race and what they wear and everything else.
Yeah, and their culture and this, again, just because they're different, and that's what it's about. Yeah, I know you had.
My brain seems not to want to stay on this.
Well, did you have something you wanted to bring up?
Yes.
Okay, go right ahead.
I'd like to bring it back to being educated. Okay. And in the sense that when we watch the news, majority of the news is all, oh, this person got shot because they were black, or this person got shot because they immigrated across the border of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it may not make sense, but it might be the reality. I mean, I think given the times, we're seeing that mm-hmm. much of that is indeed true.
Yeah.
When you think about all the shootings of unarmed black men and women.
We had this talk already.
We've already talked about this. But, you know, it's interesting to see how all of this kind of ties in. You know, mm-hmm. that's what it says. When you start looking at the different variables, particularly race, culture, ethnicities, these are really, you know, hot topic issues. Yeah.
Oh, and then what's really interesting is when things like cultural appropriation start happening, mm-hmm. where we won't even allow people from certain countries, but then we see what they're doing and we're like, oh, that's cool.
Uh-huh.
We should start doing that. And then sometimes it's a little ignorant and rude, but I mean, sometimes it's not, where people just start doing things from other countries like without even knowing what it's about, and
exactly.
it can be offensive.
That reminds me of Weeaboos.
Well, you know, what it reminds me of, what Reed has said, is that there are some real double standards or biases when it comes to even looking at the immigration policy. For example, Cubans who reach land are allowed to
yes,
stay.
Yes, yes.
However,
yeah.
Haitians, yeah. even if they reach the shore, and others, are turned back.
Yeah.
Because I know the thing with Cuba is, like, because they're scared that if we send the Cubans back, they'll get murdered. So,
I mean, is that the issue?
Yeah.
They could be murdered, yes.
Our relationship with Cuba has changed.
It's,
so it'll
yeah.
be
constantly.
Interesting.
To you see know, how it, that changes.
It'll
yeah.
be interesting
yeah.
to
will
see
they
what
revoke
impact.
That or?
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see the impact.
It definitely is a bit of an issue. I don't know. It's like if they get found out and we send them back for trying to escape their country, they could get killed for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, how some people are leaving countries like Haiti or something where earthquakes and there's nothing left for you, where you can't do anything, you might be dead there too.
Right.
If you
well,
get
you're
sent
talking
back.
Also about the quality of life.
Yeah, the quality of life.
That mm-hmm. it, you know, that exists there.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to share with you in this last minute the top countries of origin. Mexico has the largest, 5.9 million, a lot. Then we have El Salvador. We have Guatemala. we have India and Honduras. So these are the top countries where we have undocumented immigrants, just for your, you know, your information, okay? Gosh, we are out of time.
Wow.
I'm looking at the clock. It says we're out of time.
We
so
seem to run short.
Yes, I always want to say thank you. I just enjoy having you all the time. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.